Earth below us, drifting, falling, floating, weightless, calling, calling home.
Welcome to episode 3 of our Planet Earth series. Episode 1 was broadcast on September the 9th and episode 2 on September the 16th. Now, these programs are a mix of factual reports, poetry, and fanciful music. And speaking of the latter, do you remember Major Tom of David Bowie fame? Well, in this song by William Shatner and Steve Howe, Major Tom remembers planet Earth.
Tranquility Base, this is Houston. Can we get both of you on the camera for a minute, please? Roger, we're about to get both of you on field of view of the camera for a minute.
Only came outside to watch the night fall with the rain. I heard you making patterns. Rhyme like some new romantic looking for the TV sound. You'll see I'm right some other time. Look now, look all around. There's no sign of life. Voices, another sound. Can you hear me now? This is planet Earth. You're looking at planet Earth. Bop, 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 bop. This is planet Earth. Earth. My head is stuck on something precious. Let me know if you're coming down to land. Is there anybody out there trying to get through? My eyes are so cloudy, I can't see you. Look now, look all around. There's no sign of life. Voices, another sound. Can you hear me now? This is planet Earth. You're looking at planet Earth. Bop, 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 bop. This is planet Earth. This is planet Earth.
Tranquility Base. This is Houston. Can we get both of you on the camera for a minute, please?
Earth below us, drifting, falling, floating, weightless, calling, calling home. Wait for me. Don't leave me. I love you.
This special program has been timed to coincide with the launch of a new Earth-observing satellite. Copernicus is a program of the European Union in association with the European Space Agency. It comprises a series of satellites called Sentinel, that name because they watch over our planet. The launch of Sentinel-6 was supposed to happen today, but has been postponed because of a problem with the United States Falcon 9 rocket that is to place it into orbit. Target launch date is now November the 22nd at 4:17 a.m. And, that's Sunday next week. Now, this European Space Agency feature gives us an overview of Sentinel-6.
The Maldives, made up of some 1,200 islands in the Indian Ocean, the nation hosts a rich marine ecosystem, provides a popular holiday destination, and is home to more than 500,000 people. But with most of the country barely above sea level, it could be lost forever. As the world warms due to climate change, water once locked in ice sheets is melting. 25 years of satellite data reveals that sea levels have not only risen, but the rate is increasing. Scientists predict this extra water, up to a metre by the end of the century, could put thousands of coastal communities, major cities and hundreds of millions of people around the world, including in Europe, at risk. Equipped with a radar altimeter, Sentinel-6 will make the most accurate measurements yet of sea level. It'll provide an internationally agreed reference for all other satellite altimeter missions that measure the ocean surface. An identical second Sentinel-6 satellite will be launched in 5 years' time, giving scientists at least 10 years of continuous data.
Sea level is a very direct symptom of global warming, so it's very important to measure it accurately. And sea level increase is related to the melting of ice of the poles. It's also related to the accumulation of heat in the oceans. So these two elements together make the product of Sentinel-6 very relevant for the society.
Sentinel-6 will map up to 95% of the world's oceans every 10 days. Taking continuous measurements of sea surface and wave height, as well as wind speed, the satellite will also provide vital safety information for shipping through marine and meteorological forecasts. A joint project between Europe and the United States, Sentinel-6 will operate alongside other Sentinel satellites as part of the Copernicus program.
Europe today really has a leadership in Earth observation, and it has the largest Earth observation program in the world with all the satellites which we are developing. There are three series. There is the Earth Explorers, which are the science missions, the Copernicus missions, the Sentinels, and the meteorological missions, and the totality of those missions, together with national missions in the various member states of ESA, are today the biggest Earth observation capacity in the world.
The Sentinel satellites are giving us a new view of how our planet is changing. Vital information for governments, local authorities, all of us to act on.
Now, NASA scientists have mapped ground damage caused by last year's California earthquakes. The two Southern California earthquakes warped the ground across dozens of square kilometres, and the changes are visible even from space. A Japanese satellite picked up the damage from the July 4 and July 5 earthquakes that had magnitudes of 6.4 and 7.1 respectively. Earthquakes of these magnitudes are strong enough to cause moderate to severe damage to buildings. The July 5 earthquake was the strongest to hit the Ridgecrest region, some 241 kilometres northeast of Los Angeles, in 40 years. That's according to the United States Geological Survey. The surface displacement caused by this tremor and its predecessor is clear in new images from Japan's Advanced Land Observing Satellite, known as ALOS-2. That satellite gathers data using synthetic aperture radar to produce detailed measurements of the height of the Earth's surface. Scientists at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory created a map based on the side-looking radar images. And the United States Geological Survey and the California Geological Survey, as well as other scientists, are now using the map to assess damage and to map the new faults. The region has also experienced 1,000 aftershocks that opened up a few new cracks. Now we're going to have a little bit of poetry here. This is a poem, Comparing Worlds. It's written by Jane Crowley. It's called Terra Firma and is read by Ciro Faenza.
Terra Firma. Of all my new worlds, you were foulest and best. Wine and brine and fish guts running through your veins, and a mad builder trying to carve his fevered dreams onto the sky, endless knots unfurling under my feet and waves on the seabed overhead. I drank your bitter coffee, walked your baking streets, and greeted your sparkling dead in the calm of the morning.
Since 2007, a multinational interdisciplinary research program has been operating in Southeast Asia. It covers the fields of aerosols, meteorology, and climate interactions. The study area ranges from Java through the Malay Peninsula and up to Taiwan. One satellite that is particularly noteworthy in this effort is VNREDSAT-1, and that's from the Vietnam Academy of Science and Technology. The name is an acronym from Vietnam Natural Resource Environment and Disaster Monitoring Satellite. It was launched into orbit on 2013, May the 7th, with an expected lifetime of about 5 years. It has a four-band multispectral scanner that can spot things on the ground as small as 10 metres. The revisit time is 3 days. Data from VNREDSAT-1 are being used for urban management and natural resource monitoring. This includes watching out for hazards and disasters in Vietnam. Within 2 years of its launch, the satellite had captured more than 23,000 images of Vietnam and 42,000 images over ASEAN countries, including Malvern. Now, we heard a story a few moments ago about earthquakes in California and the fault lines. Well, here we're going to hark back to 1989. For nearly 50 years, a series of satellites called Landsat have been photographing our planet at high resolution. So this story by Paul Antony is called Finding Faults.
NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, presents The Space Story. Some people like to find faults, especially geologists and scientists, because they're interested in knowing where earthquake faults are located and just how active they are. The Landsat satellites are helping to uncover previously unknown faults. John Ford of NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, is part of a team analyzing Landsat data for precisely this purpose.
The value of the Landsat images to observe abrupt discontinuities in spectral characteristics enable geologists to go to specific localities which are directed by the Landsat information to determine whether it is a fault that one is seeing or something else.
Landsat comprises several satellites that continuously orbit the Earth at different altitudes, obtaining images of the Earth with a thematic mapper. This sensor provides information on how the surface of the Earth reflects light, with different geological features having different spectral responses. Therefore, it can distinguish various land characteristics, even if they are located close together.
The thematic mapper is such that it is able to discriminate features at the scale of 30 meters that are not obvious in photographs or in other types of images. That means objects that are 30 meters away from each other can be discriminated. And this exactly is what happened in terms of the way in which we located faults that had not previously been seen in areas that had, in fact, been mapped.
With the fault location from the thematic mapper in hand, scientists must go out to the field to determine if the geological feature is truly an earthquake fault. Dr. Ford explains why faults occur.
A fault is a break in the rocks of the Earth's crust, along which or across which movement has occurred on each side. And these features, or faults as they're called, predominantly result from the relief of differential pressure that has built up due to inhomogeneities in the crust of the Earth. Pressure relieves itself by simply rupturing the rock, and then, of course, movement occurs.
By taking age measurements of the rock layers of faults, scientists can determine when the faults occurred.
What we have found in the field here, in which older rocks, granite and volcanic rocks, have been faulted against each other, and are, in fact, overlain by younger gravel, which is not faulted. This fault has not been active in the time since that gravel has lain on top.
Currently, scientists are using Landsat imaging for finding unknown faults in the San Andreas and Death Valley region.
The region has given us evidence of extension, of virtually pulling apart, squeezing, and slicing at one time or another over the past 50 million years. A very large portion of the area is only poorly known and poorly mapped in terms of details. Doing work of this kind, we find out new things about the history of how they have been deformed, and from this we get a better understanding of the total regional concept of the structure.
The thematic mapper on the Landsat satellites can provide similar information for other parts of the globe, as Dr. Ford explains.
These techniques, including the processing and analysis that we have done, are quite fully transportable to other areas throughout the world, which are even less known and less studied than portions here of our American Southwest.
This has been the Space Story, brought to you by this station and NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration.
The seventh of these Landsat satellites, Landsat 7, has been in orbit for 21 years and continues to operate well. Despite its aging hardware, scientists and engineers are coaxing maximum science out of it. Indeed, they are now getting 105% of the number of pictures the spacecraft was designed for. Meanwhile, Landsat 8 continues to perform well 7 years after launch. It has taken more than 3.5 million pictures. Now, these are available free to anyone around the world. The Landsats are operated by the United States Geological Survey, but the satellites are designed by NASA. The space agency is already working on Landsat 9 and is planning to launch it in April next year. The Geological Survey is investigating whether Landsat 7 can be kept operating until Landsat 9 is in orbit. This would allow an overlap in its picture taking and permit cross-calibration of their sensors. Beyond 2020, a sustainable land imaging program is laying groundwork for establishing a long-term vision for Landsat 10 and beyond. That would take the satellite series out to 2040. On this evening's The Space Show, we are looking at planet Earth, the third in a ongoing series of programs looking at our home planet. And, well, why don't we come right back home here to our broadcast area and the McRobertson Girls High School. We were going to hear the McRobertson Chamber Voices with the McRobertson Chamber Ensemble, and their song is simply called Every Part of the Earth is Sacred. It was composed by Stephen Leake. So off we go to South Melbourne.